is in this place. We're here with him. So I pray that God would help me to remove myself and that he would just use me as a vessel to speak his words to our hearts today, and that we're receptive to hear and obey. As we look at John chapter 18 this morning, may God bless the reading of his word, and may God bless all that we do here, both in children's church, junior church, nursery, and all that we do for his glory. I wonder if you have ever found yourself in this place where you were told you're going to have surgery. Be it a mild surgery or a serious surgery. Some tell me that any surgery is a serious surgery if it's on you, which is true. But if they're going to have to put you to sleep and they tell you all these things and you meet with all the folks prior to and you do all the pre-op stuff and they get you and they tell you all the bad things that could happen and they tell you the things that all this is going to take place. And then they tell you something that I don't know is that easy to do. After they tell you all these things about the surgery, what could happen, and all the things that's going to take place, they tell you to go home and get rest. How many of y'all have ever had surgery like that and you went home and you got it on your mind and it just kept on your mind and on your mind and you're thinking, I can't sleep? You're kind of concerned about what's going to take place and you can't help but do that. It probably causes your prayer life to increase as well as you ask others to help pray for you as well. And that's what the body of the believers, that's what the church should be doing, is praying for one another, that God would comfort them and God would provide the resources and help the doctors and nurses and anesthesiologists and everybody to do the very best for you as you prepare and as they prepare to take you into this surgery. And as you lay down at night, you begin to pray and it bears on your mind, doesn't it? Well, Jesus had been praying in the Garden of Gethsemane. And he'd been praying for quite a lengthy time, as you see in chapter 17. We talked about that last week. And he'd been praying intensely for the will of God, not my will, Father, but thine be done. And he found himself there with God alone in the garden. The disciples had fell asleep. Jesus felt at that time of praying the full weight of his impending death. So much to the fact that while he was praying and felt the weight of all of this upon him, that great sweat drops of blood fell to the ground. Scientists have proven that physically your body can get to that emotional stressful state that can happen. Jesus was there praying for you and I. After Jesus had prayed in the garden, he took off with his disciples, as we're going to read in chapter 18. When Jesus had spoken these words, he went forth with his disciples over to the brook Kidron, where was a garden, into the which he entered and his disciples. Judas also, which betrayed him, knew the place, for Jesus oftentimes had resorted there with his disciples. Judas then, having received a band of men and officers from the chief priest and Pharisees, cometh hither with lanterns and torches and weapons. Jesus therefore, knowing all things that should come upon him, went forth and said unto them, Whom seek you? Then answered him, Jesus answered them, Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus said to them, I am. Some of you may have in parentheses or italicized the word he. In the original Greek language, it says I am. It doesn't say he. The King James translation put it there. But in the original text, and meaning, the true gist of the meaning is, I am. And Judas also, which betrayed him, stood with them. As soon as he had said unto them, I am, they went backward and fell to the ground. Then asked he them again, whom seek you? And they said, Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus answered and told, I have told you that I am. If therefore you seek me, let these go their way, that the saying might be fulfilled which he spake, of them which thou gavest me have I lost none. Then Simon Peter, having a sword, wiping the sleep out of his eyes, that's the David translation, and smote the high priest's servant and cut off his right ear. The servant's name was Malchus. That'll be important for later study. Then Jesus said unto Peter, put up thy sword into the sheath. The cup which my Father has given me, shall I not drink yet? Father in heaven, as we look at this intense scripture that is infallible, inerrant, and is perfect, the way that it took place in that garden, reveal to us the importance of seeking you, the importance of surrendering our all to you, listening and obeying you. No one else has loved us like you do. No one else could. So help us to love you and to listen to you this morning. We thank you for being here with us. And as we look at your word, Holy Spirit, move in this place without disruption, without hindrance of thinking about any other thing other than listening to you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. As Jesus walked into this garden, went over to the brook, he went over to the brook Kidron. During the Passover, this is so important. During the Passover at this time, it is estimated that there was about 2 million people gathered. A lot of people, right? Today, we don't think of that many, you know, just a few people because you see it dramatized. 2 million people gathered. Now, get this. You know the story of the Passover. You know that they go to the temple and they take their unblemished sheep to the temple to be slain in the blood that covers their sins. 256,000 sheep. 256,000 sheep slaughtered. A lot of sheep. I looked this morning as I was praying at the sheep over there, and I said, you lucky guys. 256,000 sheep have been slain in the temple. And the blood of those sheep flowed into a culprit and went down into the brook Kidron. So now you can imagine what that looked like as Jesus walked with his disciples over the brook Kidron. He knew his blood would once and for all cover our sins. For everyone that believeth on him and confess him as Lord, that was on his mind. Can you imagine that emotional walk in love and obedience to the Father? As he walked across this brook Kidron and saw the vast amount of blood for these sheep that had been slain that could not produce what he was about to produce for every one of us. That the blood that was shed on the cross covered all of our sins that'll trust and believe in him. No longer is there need for sheep to be slain, because the one perfect Lamb of God was slain for you and I. What an emotional walk that would have been. And He's asking you and I to walk in love with Him and walk in obedience with Him. Are you willing to walk with Him? You see, the Kidron Valley serves as a backdrop to death and sorrow and judgment. The Valley of Kidron had a history of adultery, impurity, and condemnation, because that's why the lambs and the sheep was taken there to be slain, to try to cover the wickedness of that day, the impurities, the condemnation. Holy to the Lord our God, Jeremiah says, will forgive their wickedness and remember their sins no more. You're right. Remember their sins no more. Can you see the magnitude of what Jesus did for you and I? That blood that was shed on the cross for you and I. If you would, find the book of Joel in the Old Testament. Go to the book of Psalms, turn right past Daniel. And go to page 1460 in my Bible. Joel chapter 3, verse 2. I will also gather all nations and will bring them down into the valley of Jehoshaphat, and will plead with them there for my people and for my heritage Israel, whom they have scattered among the nations and parted my land. The geographical location is the Kidron Valley. Look at verse 14. Multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision, for the day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision. Again, the geographical area here is the Kidron Valley. The valley of decision. It is also most likely the place where Armageddon will take place, that we read in Revelation chapter 16. But what boldly highlighted to me as spending in time in prayer with God was the day of the Lord is near. The day of the Lord is near. Folks, we need to wake up and see what Jesus Christ did for you and I on the cross, to suffer and bleed and die and be buried and rose again from the grave and ascend to the right hand of the Father, where He says, I'll be right back, and He's coming back. The day of the Lord is near. In judgment, a very serious question here. In judgment, just where will you stand? Let me get you to understand this. It will not be Roanoke Creek Baptist Church. Y'all stand over here and we'll be with you in a moment. Hankel family, Lord help you. Y'all be right over here. We'll be with you in a moment. Nope. In judgment, it'll be you answering for you. Where will you stand in judgment? And I will share with you, indecision is a decision. Satan has used the tactic, wait, way too long. He's been doing it very effectively. In judgment, where will you stand? See, when He walked across the Kidron Brook, He knew what was fixing to place, because Jesus knowed all things at that time revealed to him by the Father God. He knew that when he walked across that this stream coming down and he crossed it, that he was going to take away the sins of the world. He knew when he went into this garden that he had been before with his disciples to pray. He knew that Judas was fixing to betray him, even though he had washed his feet just a few moments ago. He knew Judas knew where they were at. He knew Judas was going to betray him because he had been there before. As they entered, and they tell me that it was walled and gated, so it could be that Jesus had been there frequently enough that he had the pass to get in or the keys to get in. So he knew. But I looked at this and I prayed about this and I thought, Lord, you said in your word that you are the way, the truth, and the life. That no one comes into the Father except through you. And so there's one gate. There's only one way. This was a full moon night that they could obviously see the disciples and Jesus. Jesus could obviously see them. But they must have thought that Jesus and his disciples might have been hiding in the bushes or something. Because when Judas brought these soldiers to where Jesus was, they carried torches and lanterns along with their weapons. I don't know the reasoning behind that, but maybe they thought they was going to be ambushed or something, that they was not even in the garden, that they set up a ploy, so they were prepared. Even at that, I still don't understand it, because the Roman cohort's officers numbered 650. That seemed like pretty good odds. 650 to 11 disciples in Jesus. Unless you know Jesus. Because with Jesus, all things are possible. With Jesus, the odds are in your favor. Because with Jesus, you win. Regardless of how many others they are. 650. Torches, lanterns, and weapons. They were expecting, obviously, a resistance, that there would be a fight. But as you read chapter 18, you find that Jesus was obviously in control of the whole situation. Who are you looking for? Jesus of Nazareth. I am. They asked him three times. I don't know why that was. Jesus already knew God's plan that had been established, predestined from the sin of man in the garden, in the beginning. In verse 4, Jesus, therefore, knowing all things that should come upon him, went forth and said unto them, Whom seek you? Jesus had the knowledge then. Jesus has the knowledge now. You can fool some of the people. You can fool most of the people. But you will not fool Jesus. When he asks you the question, Whom do you seek today? Do you seek him, or do you seek your own self-pleasure? Who do you seek? And Jesus knows the answer to that. He knows full well. I found seven times plus this in the Gospel of John where Jesus says, I am. I am the bread of life, John 6. I am the light of the world, John chapter 8. I am the door. John chapter 10. I am the good shepherd. Also in John 10. I am the resurrection and the life. John 11. I am the truth and the life. John 14. I am the true vine. John 15. Then we have the responses when he says, whom seek ye? Jesus of Nazareth, they said, and Jesus said to them, I am. I am. Look at verse 6. Look at the power and the magnitude of the simple terms, I am. As soon as he had said unto them, I am, they went backward and fell to the ground. 11 disciples, one Jesus, 650 soldiers, I am, fall down. You tell me that there's not power in the name of Jesus? You tell me there's not power in two little simple words, I am? God can move mountains. God is in charge. As chaotic as this world may get, you can rest assured that there is not one iota thing that's not surprising to God. God already knows all that's going on. God knows the hearts of every individual that's in this room. He knows what's going on in all the world. And he says, I am. I know the plans. I have sent my only son to die for you. To raise again on a third day, just exactly as it was said. Every single detail in the Word of God. And when he says, I will be coming back, you can rest assured that he is. Because he's the I am. Even if he don't come back, it is a mathematical equation that has been proven over and over again that one out of one will die and stand before God. And when you do you have in your corner the bread of life, the light of the world, the door, the good shepherd, the resurrection and the life, the truth and the life and the vine? Do you have in your corner the great and mighty and powerful I am? Because if you don't, you'll hear those words, depart from me. I never knew you. God loves you so much that he sent Jesus to shed his innocent blood to cover your sins. His only begotten Son. Today, who do you seek? Christian friend, maybe you've been saved a week, maybe you've been saved 100 years. Are you still seeking him? Are you still seeking him? People that have been playing religion, religion's not going to get you there. It's a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm glad you come to church. You're going to hear the gospel. You're going to hear the Holy Spirit of God speak to you. Not through me, but he will speak to you. He'll speak to you through his word. I'm glad you're coming to church, but church attendance won't save you. The Lord Jesus Christ will save you. You might be watching or listening. You may be here today and you're lost without Christ. And right now there's something going on inside of you. There's something that's tugging at your heart. You begin to get at just a little edgy. Maybe that's the Holy Spirit speaking to you. Maybe that's God saying, come to me. Maybe he's saying right now, come. I'm willing to forgive you of your sins. I'm willing, if you will confess me as your Lord, to give you life, prayer place for you that where I am, you can be also. Today, right now, eternity could start for you. Maybe you feel the Holy Spirit have drawn you to the truth of Jesus. Maybe you're burdened. Maybe there's some things that's on your mind that you just need to come talk to God about. Don't let Satan steal from you what God has prepared for you. Father in heaven, as we give the invitation to come to you, may there not be a hesitancy. Maybe there's not even any excuses, that today we simply hear, listen, and obey you. Be it for salvation, be it to make that decision today that they've already made a decision that they want to come today. Maybe some here today, Lord, they've been saved, but their baptism is on the wrong side. Maybe they were baptized and then later got saved, and they realized that they've been baptized, but they really wasn't saved, and they came to know you. And today, Lord, they want to come and just be a candidate for baptism. Maybe there's some here today, Lord, that just says, hey, I've been a Christian a long time, and I've not been seeking you, Lord. And it's time to repent and renew that spirit. Some here today, Lord, may be troubled. Maybe even nothing that I spoke about, but maybe something you spoke to their spirit about, and they just need to come and pray. I pray that they feel the freedom and the safety in doing so from you. Nobody's going to think about what's going on with them. They just feel the freedom and the safety of just coming and making those decisions right now, Lord. Lord, for anybody here that don't know you as Savior, they're feeling your tug. I feel they have the peace to come and to allow us the privilege of sharing with them how to know you as Savior. May this day, Lord, you be glorified and honored in all things. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. Would you stand, please, for this invitation? Just obey God. Just do what He's asking you to do. Heads bowed and eyes closed. I want to ask Christians, would you begin to pray? First of all, ask God what He wants you to do with what He's spoken to you about. And then secondly, Christians, I would like to ask you to pray for that. There's a stronghold that's going on, that God would just release it and set free. That whatever He wants to do in lives today, that they would reach out and take Him by the hand. Those strongholds are going on. There's some battles that's going on. God's speaking, and right now there's somebody needs to move. Maybe several somebodies that needs to move. Needs to come pray. Needs to make a decision. Amen. Amen. Are you walking daily by the Savior's side? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? I pray you are. And I pray as you walk with Him, He will encourage you and just comfort you that He's there. He's there. He's that personal of a God. He loves you so much that He's there for you and with you. If you would, just have a seat for just a moment. Thank you, Diane. So, tonight at 4:30, ladies' Bible study. Ruth will be with them. No, they're going to study Ruth. They're going to study Ruth. She won't be there. But they're going to study tonight at 4:30. And also tonight at 6 o'clock, King of Kings. Is Jesus King of Kings? See, Lord of Lords. Songs you know. They're not going to sign you up for a lifelong commitment to the choir. It's just going to be practicing, which is a short-term commitment. And they're just going to praise Jesus. Okay? Lift your voices to Him. So that's tonight at 6. We'll have our Bible study. I wonder if you've been at moments in your journey and you said, Lord, I just really don't know how to pray. Tonight we're going to look at the scriptures on what Jesus said and how He said to pray in faith. Okay? So that's going to be at 6 o'clock tonight as well. The youth, we're inviting you guys to come over and be with us tonight. They will not be doing the Bible study over there tonight. You are invited to come in here and to be with us, maybe share with us as well, because it's a discussion, a lively discussion. I enjoy that, on how to pray in faith, so please be a part of that if you would. Also, you see that our goal for the Annie Armstrong Easter offering, I believe we'll exceed that. We'll bust at that seams. I believe y'all are just that way, that you do that thing. Wanted to brag on the Awanas. You guys are doing a tremendous job in what you're doing. The police officers had came a little late this past Wednesday, but they have already contacted Jason and Jessica, and they said they were apologizing all over themselves. I don't know what they've got in store, but they said they're planning something for this Wednesday for the kids. So be here at 6. And adults, if you're not a part of Awana, come on over and see what they're going to do. If you've got a warrant, maybe they'll pardon you. I don't know. Just kidding. Y'all are good. Any other announcements that I have not made that need to be made? Please take your prayer list and be in prayer for the many, many needs of prayer that's in your bulletin. Please continue to lift those up as well as our country. Okay.